I'm going to hit the button, and then we're on the air.
All right.
Mikey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, Sawyer.
Do you think we still know how to do this?
I'm not sure. I don't know if we ever did.
can't suck if you never got good.
That's right. That's what we do.
Always keep that punk amateur mindset with everything you do.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, why else do we do it?
You don't want to get complacent, you know?
Speaking of punk.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I segued in. Oh, no.
No, so Happy New Year. Let's unsegue. How have your holidays been?
Lovely. The holidays have been lovely. Toronto has had 1 minute of sunshine in the last 30 days, so we're all doing great over here.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know, you sound like you're complaining about it, but we would take that over what we have, which is just humidity and humidity and humidity.
Serious, I mean, even, grass is greener, yeah, stuff going on over here.
Of course. Always. Everywhere. Speaking of grass being greener on other sides, AEW.
Oh my god, you did it again. Oh no.
Wrong show.
Wrong
show. The right show, I think. Ah. Sorry. Sorry, Rich. How are you doing? Shout out to Rich Thomas.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So we were supposed to do a show a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then some schedule mix up because of daylight savings,
mm-hmm,
and then rescheduling, and then the holidays, and now it's been a month.
Yeah.
Over a month.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So but sorry, okay, about that.
No, that's okay, because I think the only thing we were going to talk about was like the iPhone, which is all we talked about the previous episode.
So it is what I want to ask you about, because you had a whole like holiday break with the new phone,
and I did.
That's a serious like phone usage experience thing to talk about, I think, for anyone. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to ask you about that, but we did segue into punk a while ago, and
oh no, we did. Oh no, we're doing it again. Oh no.
Just really quickly.
Yes.
I mean, although we said it last time, we said it was quickly last time, and it was like half a show. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I think this was when he got fired, right?
Is maybe
when we talked about it.
Yeah.
And when... how? I think. Can you still hear me? Sorry,
yeah,
I turned off my
yeah.
monitor. It's pretty loud. Okay, so last thing we talked about was it was good that he got fired,
mm-hmm,
and that the at some point people need to remember that they are mm-hmm. in a world of grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So then he leaves. So he's mm-hmm. gone, right? He disappears. Mm-hmm. and then he comes back, right? And it's a big deal. And
yeah.
And half the world is like, you know, this sucks. Why are you? No, this is not half the world. It's like a tiny fraction of the world is like, mm-hmm. yeah, we're supposed to be mad at him.
Right.
Then there's the rest of the world. I'm going to say the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Who, including me, not you. So the rest of us who are like, you know what? I don't care. I'm so happy he's back.
Right. Back in the Fed.
Right, right. Yeah. Back in WWE specifically.
Yes.
Not like back on TV, because I didn't really care that he was on Collision, you know? Like,
right.
that was a bad idea. but this is different. And I remember, it might have been 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
or less when Tumblr was the thing that was consuming my wrestling fandom,
mm-hmm.
and you are one of the people who were like kind of like crusading for the Tumblr wrestling community.
Yeah.
And everyone was mad that Punk left at Money in the Bank and then came back 2 weeks later.
Right.
Right, with Cult of Personality, and everyone was mad, but on Tumblr we were all so happy, and you used that as a point to like to highlight the difference of why the regular wrestling the IWC sucks yeah. and why the Tumblr wrestling community is pretty great. And
well, we were, I think.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now. So there's no Tumblr anymore, and I don't know anymore. I mean, there's Discords and little tiny like insular wrestling groups with their own discussions, and then there's the larger internet
yeah.
community, and there's no. I've mentioned this. We've talked about this before. Like, there's no place anymore that I can kind of settle in with my wrestling fandom talkiness. I mean, I do have wrestling friends that I talk to, yeah, but like there's no, like in the way that Tumblr was a place that felt safe to be right. wrong.
Right.
Like there is none of that anymore now. And I want to just, I think it's, except for me personally, just this podcast, I think, or yeah. at least our chat, where I can say, I know I'm wrong, Sawyer.
About what? What are you wrong about?
I know this is 2 months. This is like a belated expression. This is like 2 months ago. Okay?
Okay.
But him being back, I was not lost in euphoria. I was more like, I'm so happy, but oh my God, this is going to end in like 3 weeks. You know, like this was like, I know this is not like I could be wrong. Hey, right.
Sure.
But I think it's just the knowledge that, oh, this is a car crash. Oh,
right.
this is going to be bad news eventually. And some part of the internet is going to laugh at me and people like me. But, and I'm aware, this is what I'm saying. I am aware of this. And yet I'm happy. I'm happy that that happened. I'm happy that I don't know what's going to happen leading up to WrestleMania. I'm happy that I now care about how they're going to weave things together. I mean, this is all too rare for me as a wrestling fan nowadays
mm-hmm.
to not know what's going to happen and be excited at the possibilities and know that I'm going to be disappointed somehow anyway. But this stage, like this happened last with the whole Sami Zayn thing last year
mm-hmm.
and leading up to WrestleMania, and then WrestleMania just, you know, off season after that. And then now again, and it's like this feels nice. And it's funny because
it feels nice to have like a storyline to care about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And not like a TV show storyline, but like a storyline to care
right.
about. Like
right.
what's going to happen to this human being who is so volatile with this other company of other human beings who are so volatile.
Mm-hmm.
And also TV is fun, or whatever version of TV it is nowadays, which is like YouTube really, or Twitter. Or, you know, or like whatever is posted on the internet. Like,
sure.
That's what it is for me now. I don't really have weekly wrestling watching habits anymore.
Right.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't had it for years. I didn't even know this. I think I tried to come back when Punk came back the first time.
Right.
With AEW. And I
right.
tried to watch AEW weekly. And then, you know, just life happens, you know?
Did you?
But
I guess sort of quick follow up to that. Would you say that your primary way of watching wrestling is YouTube then?
Mm-hmm. I think
wow.
so.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not ideal, but it's what I feel like. I feel like it's all I have. That's sustainable. And everything else is too much for me. But yes, I realize that I do it all the time anyway. So maybe it's just how it is now.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling on YouTube.
Yeah.
So people send me links. I just subscribe to what I'm subscribed to. That's it. Anyway, all of this is funny because all of the I can pinpoint like in the timeline of all of these major fan things that I like talking to you about so much. I'm a little ashamed that a lot of them just are very much tied to CM Punk, and it's 2024, and I'm just gonna admit it. Like, yeah, it's CM Punk. Sorry, world.
Yeah, I mean. Okay, so I do have thoughts. I have plenty of thoughts about YouTube being the primary way to watch pro wrestling, because a couple days ago, AEW dropped a 5-hour video on their channel called The Continental Classic. And
yes,
it's,
I heard.
And it's not 100% of every match, but it's most of every match, and it's all in one place. And...
Uh-huh.
gosh, would I have killed to have that for the G1 in most years. I would have killed for them to be like, okay, here's like a pay-per-view length video that will show you the G1 this year. Like we're going to skip over some of the more boring parts, but trust us, there's a lot of stuff here and it's all good. You know?
Right.
And like just having it just be on YouTube like that, where YouTube is like the best video player, period, right? Because it remembers the second you stopped on a video, always. And no other video player in the internet does that properly.
No, that's right. So absolutely.
Having a long video like that is really useful there. And I know that WWE, they have a team for YouTube. And they're uploading a ton of stuff every day. In context, out of context, stuff that happened last night, stuff that happened 5 years ago, right? Their YouTube channel is a real, like, machine gun of content. But very little of it is super long, you know? It's generally the bite-sized 10 to 20-minute video that YouTube tends to like people watching, you know?
Right.
I kind of wish AEW had just made a playlist of Continental Classic matches instead of one long video, but whatever, it's fine. That's fine too.
Does the video have chapters?
No, it doesn't. Yeah? See, that's the thing. If it had chapters, I'd be like, fine, one video.
Right.
But no, I chapters. don't think they want you skipping around. I think they want you to hit play and sit down and watch the whole thing.
Oh man, what kind of person do they have in mind?
Me?
Well, you. Do you have 5 hours?
I had nonstop. So here's why I'm tired. Here's why I'm going into a wrestling off season is because I watched every Dynamite and every Collision from the last 6 weeks that had the Continental Classic. Because I love this is whenever they're talking about like the type of fan who likes this stuff. That's me. I love a dense tournament that has a lot of story going on in a little bit of time. Like,
right.
You know, I love a wrestling tournament. So, and a round robin tournament, even a truncated one like this, is a lot of stuff to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm sleepy now with wrestling. I wonder what this would have looked like with Punk in it.
Imagine, right?
Imagine.
And just imagine the noise. Yeah. Right? If that had Punk in it. Sheesh.
Yeah, I know. Like if that, like, I know, like, Mox is kind of the star of the Continental Classic. Like, he's the biggest star that was in it. But, like, like, if it had someone who actually, like, gets written about outside of wrestling, you know, that would have been something. Anyways, I'm happy you're happy.
Thank you.
From what I've seen of it, Punk seems to have been sat down at a meeting with adults and been told, hey, here's the TV character you're going to play for us, okay? And then he went, yep.
Yes, sir, he said.
Which is...
You know me.
Yeah. One Bill Phil.
One Bill Phil. The king is back, baby, he said grossly.
I don't know if you remember that one Bill Phil promo where he's like, David Zaslav likes me.
It's like, of course. Ugh,
like, you couldn't have said a bigger heel thing.
Right. It was the worst. It was truly, truly the worst. And I loved it, but it was horrible.
Yeah.
You know?
I was like, that's Hollywood Hogan talk right there.
That's right.
That's
exactly it. Yeah. I can't feel good about Hollywood Hogan, right?
That's like CM Punk saying he's friends with David Zaslav is the most Hollywood Hogan possible thing you can say.
Right? God. And then the context he provides, like, doesn't, you know, like all it was to him was a was a rib on, not a rib, but like they're picking on the bucks, and in a room full of counterfeit bucks, he's the real deal, he says. But
yeah,
that's not what those words mean when you say you're friends with David Zaslav.
No.
You're one. That's not, no one's going to think, oh, young bucks joke.
Yeah. Like, the no, single that's... person 100% of the entertainment industry is mad at.
Mad at. And it's like, stop it. It's gross. Stop doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the same. Like, we were going to do the show. I think he came back, and then he shows up on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is before he does what I consider to be fun stuff on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did that first promo where mm-hmm. I kept up with Raw for the first time since, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years.
Speaking like of a time of commitment.
Raw. Yeah. Imagine, right? And then he shows up at the end and he just cuts this promo. And all he says is, I'm home and I love you guys.
Right.
And that made me feel so gross. Like, I can't believe, this is what I'm watching right now.
Yeah.
That's not the same. Now, later, he does, you know, fun wrestling-y things.
Yeah, things like, you like.
You know, things you like.
Sure.
But that one was just like, ew, ew, ew. Oh, I love this. I hate it. Gross. And there's like a whole other like Fair to Flair essay about CM Punk and like fandom and whatever for
sure.
me. But as it is with our show, it's always just like, these are my feelings.
Yeah.
So my feelings on this guy is, I'm happy he's back. He's really gross. I hope, like, I'm just glad, like, there's no, like, sexual allegations yet or racist allegations yet or anything like that for this guy, because I'm okay with him being problematic in the way that he is and nothing more, no further.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more, you know, and it's like, you know, now I'd be troubled, you know, whereas, like, you know, there'd be other wrestlers who are horrible people and it won't put me into a crisis, you know.
Sure.
But if this guy, whom I don't really like, I don't even like this guy, Sawyer. I don't get it, but I'm just gonna admit that this is what it is for me.
Would you say that perhaps you're a fan of his cult of personality?
Oh God. Yeah, that's the whole thing. If we ever do an international object that I'm back on about this, I'd okay. love to talk about that.
Okay.
Because that's the accusation for people like me.
Right.
Right? That's the accusation. And I'm thinking of being Apple Sheep. I'm thinking of all the cults that you and I were talking about in our chat a few weeks ago or a few days ago.
Yeah.
And like how it's often not a nice feeling to be accused of being in a cult. And here's this guy whose whole shtick, right, is that he's the cult of personality. So, yeah, there's a lot of resistance there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'm happy he's back. So
I know so many wrestling fans who will only go to a show if a wrestler they like is there.
Hmm.
I'm not even going to say which wrestler or, you know, whatever. But, like, if... And I've seen this where someone will go, oh, I'm going to the show because that wrestler is there. And then they drop out or they get injured before and then they're off the show. And then mm-hmm. they don't go to the show.
That's interesting.
Okay. I think that happens a lot with wrestling where you pick your people. And if your people are going to be there, then you're going to be there. And if the people aren't there, you're not there.
Mm.
And I like... As someone who's generally more of a fan of suplexes than mm-hmm. people, I'm not that kind of fan, but
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
there's way more of you than there are of me.
See, I don't know if that's me completely. Like, if I, you know, wrestling is wrestling. I'd watch wrestling. I'd buy a ticket to watch wrestling if I could.
Right.
You know, well, no, I guess. See, there's local wrestling now. We have wrestling now in this country, Sawyer.
Yeah,
we've had it for a while.
And they're doing suplexes there, right? Like, if you go to the show, you'll see a suplex.
Yeah. I have friends in it. Like, there's one day we'd have a podcast where I'd talk to you about my conversations with these people.
Absolutely.
Some of whom are my friends. And it's so interesting how when you become a wrestler, you become like, you become a wrestler in your brain too. It's so interesting.
Right.
Like, they suddenly have disdain for the rest of us because we've never taken a bump. it's hilarious. And it's so fun. I'm saying this with no judgment for now.
Right.
But yeah, there's wrestling, and I'll admit I haven't really watched as much as I could have watched. But, you know, there's also, I don't know, there's also the WWE-ness of things. Like, I'm so much happier he's back, Punk is back in WWE, than I was when he was in AEW, and I was happy for that too.
Yeah.
But this is different, so that maybe has to do with my WWF fan-ness.
Yeah.
You know, my being in that cult, you know, so there's a lot here that is that I'd like to unpack one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so noisy now. So I'm happy to tell you just this is how I feel.
Yeah.
and I'd love to work it out. But for now, it's still happy times for me.
One last international object point here is that. Sure. Everyone who is a fan of CM Punk has to understand that they are fans of a wrestler, like fans of the personality, right? And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. This is largely what the business is they have an attraction and they have a promotion and they say, hey, we got this person. Come see this person do their thing, right? That's a big part of it. The problem with CM Punk specifically is that every single time he gets kind of hot, The Rock shows up, and then you realize what a real star actually looks like.
Oh, God. That is so true. That is the truest thing. And I will say, The Rock is the reason I am many things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I loved The Rock. Like I'm not even joking. Like, yeah. Essays and performances and high school stuff, everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, he came back around that time. He's back now.
He came back.
You're right.
He showed up on SmackDown a couple weeks ago during the strike, right, when that was still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sort of a fun cameo. And he does those every now and then. And those are fun, but they don't matter. But, like, right. he just showed up on Monday Night Raw, which is the show CM Punk signed up for, by the way. And The Rock, in, like, a 15-minute promo or whatever it was like, hey, it's nice that you all think that you matter, but I matter.
Exactly.
I matter in a way that none of you will ever understand.
There are levels to this.
Yes.
As Seth Rollins said.
Yes.
And yes, there very much are, says The Rock.
Yes.
Sorry, friends. Sorry, everyone. I do not care about your story. Or your plans, or your angst, or your lives.
Yeah,
he says, and
a lot of people don't like The Rock, and they don't like that he'll swoop in and sort of ruin everyone's day by being a bigger star. But it's like I don't know what you plan on doing about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
just
I will say, I think this is easier than it was 10 years ago for me as a wrestling fan, as a WWE fan, I'm just going to say, because this is different, I think. As a WWE fan, I will say that I love this now. Like, I love I don't have a horse in this race. You know, I'm just enjoying how everything's going to fall apart in the end. And how I'm even gonna enjoy how much I'm gonna hate the end. Like, I remember WrestleMania 40, I loved it, even if I really, really wanted Cody to win. I was so upset and I hated the world when he lost, but I loved it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna go and you know, I can see that this is a part of my brain or my feelings that need the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling that even now, just with The Rock returning and with Punk and with Rollins and with Cody and with Becky and what they're all gonna do with all of these people that I care about, I'm bound to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And yet, like, this is fun now. This is fun now. It's taken me this long to get here, because I remember a version of myself that if he was watching now, I'd be so mad that The Rock is back. Right. You know, I'd even be mad that Punk is back. Like, this should be Cody's year or something. I don't know. I don't even know what it is. Whatever I would feel too much that I would not enjoy anything else. Whereas now it's like,
do you remember that kid who like threw a tantrum when The Rock beat CM Punk in like 2013?
You mean me? Like, my wife recorded me doing that.
Was that you?
I felt that way. No. I did some version of it, but yes, there was a kid. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I remember there was a video that went kind of viral when CM mm-hmm. Punk lost to The Rock, and that might happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's great. Like, I'm looking forward to it. Like, yeah. I am looking forward to the tantrum I'm going to have.
Yeah.
I think. Like, this is a nice feeling. So
that's a good show, like, title. I'm looking forward to the tantrum I'm going to have. that's really good. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. This became a Punk thing.
Wait, you said it would.
But you said it would. Something about Punk rock and whatever.
That's right. I brought it up. It's my fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. We didn't even introduce the show. This is You Chose Poorly, by the way.
It is. This is a tech podcast. Tech podcast. Sawyer, well, it is a show about being wrong. That's the premise.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, so that's exactly it.
I have to say, historically, being a CM Punk fan, now being a wrestling fan poorly. Is part of that. Is part of that, where you go, you're not putting that on your resume, are you? No.
Man, I love it. Thank you for this. This is cathartic.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Yeah.
Now, I do want to. Are you okay with time? How much time you got?
I'm fine.
Okay. I do want to bring something up really quickly that might not be a discussion, but I just want to ask you before we get to your phone. So you're on Threads, right?
Yeah, I'm on Threads. I'm on Blue Sky. So, I'm on Mastodon. I haven't picked a winner yet.
Has your timeline ever has a guy named Michael Darius ever shown up in your timeline?
No.
Okay, Darius Design, nothing?
No.
Okay. Maybe I'll wait. Maybe this can wait for a future show. This can be like a preview.
Is this part of the rampant spam problem that's going on Threads right now?
Oh, no. This is not a Threads thing. It's more specifically a that guy thing.
Oh, okay. Like, this isn't social network dependent. It's just this guy is on there. Okay.
No. It's Apple World, Apple personality thing that I'm excited to talk about one day. Okay. But yes, so if anyone listening, the two people listening is on Threads and knows who this guy is, message me. and then, yeah, one day it'll be on a show we do.
Okay.
All right. So, your phone.
Hello. Yes. Ahoy, ahoy.
MKBHD came out with a three-month
I was going to start with that. He came out with a three-month review, and he was like, this is a good one. And you have no idea how much relief I felt.
That MKBHD said that it was a good phone.
Yeah.
That's the relief. That's the
because
thing that
his
gave you
his
the
his initial review of it, I think, is a little cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, a lot of people's initial review of the iPhone 15 Pro and Pro Max were a little cautious, because there were some issues, and there were some issues because I bought the phone. I'm fully convinced that if I hadn't bought the
day
phone.
One.
If I hadn't bought the phone, it would have been fine.
Right.
but there were a bunch of issues with this phone at first. And they all do seem to be fixed through software updates and stuff like that. You know, a lot of the concerns about battery, like, went away for various reasons. For me, it was because I was sort of trusting Apple and I was using their, like, only charge the phone to 80% setting. That's a new setting on the iPhone 15 Pro Max. And I was using that and I was finding that, like, that sucked. It was a really bad situation for me. Why? I think it was, like, psychologically. I think psychologically you want your phone to be full.
Right.
And I feel like if they were going to do that setting, then they have to lie to you and say that the phone is full when it's actually only at 80%. But because the phone only goes to 80 and it says 80 and it starts to tick down, you go, oh, no, this isn't enough.
And it's terrible that the next number after 80 is 79.
Which is garbage. That's a dead battery at 79. That's a dead battery. Yeah, you might as well throw it in the garbage.
Right. So, right.
If your battery health is at 79, you're in real trouble, right?
Of course.
So, but like, I just put it back to the regular, like, setting of, like, do that drip charge through the night and then charge it up full, like, an hour before I wake up. Like, that, I feel like that's a good setting. They've had that for years.
Yes, they have.
Yeah. And I think most devices that are, like, new devices kind of do that now. I think the camera is wild, in a good way. I think it gives you, like, so much to do and think about. But I've also found that if I just, like, leave it on auto and don't change any of the settings and leave it on full default, I get photos that I find are kind of dull and boring. And so I mostly keep it on the setting called rich contrast.
Like, you're a rich contrast guy, right?
I find those to be more interesting photos, but I also find them to be wildly inaccurate photos. Like, if I'm, like, out taking photos of, like, the city, rich contrast rules. If I'm trying to take a photo of something and I want that photo to be accurate, it's garbage. So it's something I switch back and forth now. Like, I'll turn it on and off depending on what kind of photo I want to take, which just throws it into the lake of options on this phone for, like, taking photos. I opened up my Lightroom catalog to let you know. So this is, okay. So I think something we got to talk about is, did the iPhone 15 Pro Max eat all of my other electronics?
Right.
Because we talked about this, where it's like, well, the iPhone can do everything. So why do you need anything else, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need a video game console. You have the iPhone. It plays Resident Evil 4.
Right.
You don't need a real camera. The iPhone 15 is an amazing camera, right? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So I opened up Lightroom, and let me make this fair, actually. So September is when I got the phone. So I've had the phone for 4 months now, and I'm gonna look here at just 2023 September through December. So in those 4 months, I have taken and kept 48 photos from my Canon camera, my Canon M50.
Oh, no. Okay.
And I have taken and kept 176 photos from my iPhone.
Let's go! Sorry, should I not be cheering? Is that that's how I felt. Is that appropriate?
Now, I would say that the 48 photos I took with my Canon, I like them more. But the iPhone is winning in terms of, like, just that's your data, right? The iPhone is winning in terms of how many photos I'm taking, right?
Right.
Because ultimately, the best camera is the one you have with you. That's just true. It was true 20 years ago, and it's still true. Right. If you have a camera on your person, you're going to take more photos with that camera. Now, I right. wonder if I were to actually, like, keep every single photo that I took with both cameras and then compare, like my own personal ratings to them. Because I rate my photos in Lightroom, right? I'd wonder how that would go. But my gut feeling is, like, I prefer the photos that come out of my Canon still. They're richer. They're deeper. They have better color. And it's just, it's, you can do all the computational photography you want. It's still hard to beat a bigger sensor. And cooler lenses, right. you know?
Of course.
Because I have a couple of fun lenses for this thing too, and they're really nice. So it's hard to beat that. But I definitely take more photos with the iPhone. And it's mostly fine. Like, if I was stuck with the iPhone, it would be mm-hmm. fine. It would be fine. Like,
it'd be fine.
Okay. Which raises the question, will I ever buy another camera?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I'm not going to get mm-hmm. rid of my camera. It's still good. I still like it. But will I buy another camera knowing that my phone could take a perfectly good photo? And, like, in 3 or 4 years when I'm ready to upgrade to a camera, will the iPhone have upgraded to that point? mm-hmm. You know? It's mm-hmm. a good question.
It is. It is.
Video games. Because I like to play video games, right? You and I have that in mm-hmm. common. We like to play video games.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yep.
Hold on. Before we get to video games. That is a good question, and I was going to ask it. And
yeah.
I know that future talk is future talk. Yeah. But just right now, in your gut, do you yeah. think you'd buy a new camera? Like, what would go into that decision that changed now?
Well, I think if I were to buy a new camera, I would have to think the camera has to destroy the iPhone in terms of quality. It can't just be like a little bit better.
Is that like, is that how your M50 is? Just a little bit better?
Well, the M50 is better, but it's mm. very subjective. It mm. takes the same amount of megapixels as the iPhone, right? They both mm. take 24 megapixel photos. You know, and the iPhone has a lot of advantages with its computational stuff. And the fact that it's always in my pocket, right? So it would, to me, I would have to be like, if I want another camera, it would have to be so much different and so much better, right? It couldn't just be like a couple degrees better.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the Canon M50 is a 2018 camera, right? And it's not even a particularly expensive one. It's like it's like a $700 camera. So it's not really meant to destroy the iPhone. It's sort of meant to, like, be the camera you buy when you are, like, it's not a beginner camera, but it's not, like, a great camera. So if I were to buy another camera, I would probably want to spend $2,000 to $3,000 and get a great camera, right? Okay. That would be the difference. And I think you see that when you watch, like, people on YouTube, like, tech enthusiasts who buy a lot of kit, where they'll buy a really, really nice camera to complement the iPhone.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But do I have $2,000 to $3,000 in the budget a few years from now to keep enjoying that habit? That's a great question.
That's the other thing that it's not affected by the iPhone.
But I think I could say that I wouldn't probably never buy another $700 camera again, considering the quality of the iPhone.
That's the one, though. Like, that's the difference.
Yeah.
To this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the iPhone's only going to get better, right? It's on a... That's the reason they come out with a new iPhone every year, is because they've made the camera better.
We should have done this, like, G1 style.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now not that that's how we were thinking at first, but that's how it ends up all the time. All right. So, okay, video games.
Video games. So that was the other big one where it's like, oh, I still have a 3DS, I still have a Switch, mm-hmm. I have a Playdate, and I have my PC, which is a big, honking, hot, heavy gaming PC that can do everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. My PC is about the same size as a PS5. You know, it's huge.
Right.
And so I have 4 consoles, and now I have this phone.
Mm-hmm.
And and the iPad. The iPad is also a gaming console. This is something I want to talk about. Where, like, the iPad is an excellent gaming console because it's a perfect little like 7-inch screen, which is generally like comparable to the Nintendo Switch, and generally people agree like that's, if you want to play a game portably, that's the kind of screen size you want.
Right.
And I do find the iPhone kind of a small screen for gaming in mm-hmm. every respect except for Game Boy games. Like games that were built to be portable. So I found a website. So like you can't emulate games on the iPhone in a traditional way, where if you have like an Android phone or whatever, you could just like download a Game Boy emulator and you're good to go. Like that is one area where Android is like better than iOS, yeah. Right? Because if you care about old games, you can really easily play old games on Android phones. But I found a browser, like a website that just like runs games that you like, you bring your own ROMs and then you just play the games in the browser and then you like set it to your home screen like an iPhone 1. Oh. And it works, and it works with controller support. Oh. So my favorite tech dingus I got for Christmas was an 8-bit DOE attachment to my Xbox controller.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know so you're talking about
it.
Yeah.
It's like a little clip that clips to your Xbox controller, and then you put mm-hmm. your phone in the clip, and it sort of becomes a Nintendo Switch at that point, right?
Right.
And it's really comfortable. It's not too heavy. It's really nice. And so this browser app called Afterplay, I've been playing The Legend of Zelda Minish Cap, like a Game Boy Advance game, which you can play on Nintendo Switch Online if you have the expansion pack. You can play that there. Yeah. But I've been playing Minish Cap in a browser on my iPhone with my Xbox controller the way God intended.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's wonderful, though. That sounds like fun.
The game looks... this is not... the game looks so good on the iPhone. Like if you want to be impressed with the screen of the iPhone 15, play a Game Boy Advance game on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I was gonna say this is a decidedly not iPhone exclusive thing you're talking about. Like your previous phone could do this, right?
Absolutely, but the screen wasn't as nice.
Okay.
Right? Like the iPhone XR had like a 720p LCD screen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the iPhone 15 has like a 1,000,000K OLED. It's a beautiful, I don't know what it is, but it's beautiful, right?
Right, and like right,
The refresh rate is fantastic, and but I don't really notice playing like a newer game. Like Apple Arcade is really wonderful and has a lot of brand new kind of games on it, but I kind of only notice how beautiful the screen is when I'm playing like an old Pixel game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is it because of the blacks?
Maybe.
OLED blacks?
It could be the blacks. It could be the brightness. I don't know. But, like, I could play the Minish Cap on my 3DS because I have it on there. But I don't because the 3DS's screen is not good. It's a 240p screen. You know?
Right. Right.
So,
Old is the 3DS?
Well, so my 3DS...
over 10 years now.
Yeah, my 3DS is the new 3DS XL, and that came out in 2015.
Okay, almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it had...
wow.
For anyone who still has one of those things, for anyone who still has a 3DS, and especially a new 3DS, I would highly recommend jailbreaking it and hacking it. Like, there is... an app called Hmart on the 3DS like hacking site that just lets you download any 3DS game. And like I've never seen that before in like the world of emulation, where it's like, oh, the system is dead, the official seller Nintendo shut down the store, so you can't even buy 3DS games on the 3DS anymore. And then once that happened, the hackers just opened up their own shop where you can just download the whole library. Like, could you imagine, like, if that happened in, like, 1997 with the Super Nintendo? Yeah. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Child, our lives would have ended up so different.
Like, if it's like 2000, childhood would have if been it's 2002,
fundamentally,
Nintendo's done with the N64. It's 2002. A hacker shows up and they're like, just flip the switch on the N64 and you can play 100% of the N64 library. It's fine.
Here is all of it.
Here it is, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Utterly, like, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine. Like, even like the tiny collection on Switch Online is already impressive. Like, this is all of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, and so it's gotten me to be playing some 3DS games, but I just don't have the time. Like, my gaming, although I played a lot of games in 2023, Mikey. I don't know if you saw my like gaming list.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of games.
Yeah, show notes.
Mostly on the Switch. Like, the Switch had a banger 2023.
Yeah.
So I've played a lot of games on the Switch. I will say the iPhone has not obviated the Switch at all.
I don't see how it would have. Yeah. Especially since the original premise was that this can play Resident Evil 4. Which,
right.
Have you done even once at all on TV? Or even on the phone itself?
I have not downloaded Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
But that's because it's like a backlog item for me. Like, I've got a list of Resident Evil games I want to play, and I kind of want to play them in order.
Right.
So, like, right. on my computer, on Steam, I've purchased over the last year several of the modern Resident Evil games. So, like, I want to play Resident Evil Village first before I play Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to play Resident Evil 2 before I play Resident Evil 4.
Right. Yeah, I would do.
So, like, I have those sitting on my computer waiting to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like I kind of want to finish Street Fighter before I do that.
Right. Backlog. Of course.
Backlog, man.
Yeah. We're grown-ups.
I opened up an account on backlogged.com, and that's where I'm tracking my video game stuff now.
I should do that more responsibly.
Yeah, Backlogged is, it's like, it's just, yeah. it's exactly a clone of Letterboxd. Mm. And it's great.
But for games,
it's great.
I just a quick thing for me, like, one, my happy video game thing of the year is, I forget what it is, PlayStation Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Which just has the game catalog of, like, really great, kind of modern games.
Right.
It's pretty great. Like, I haven't played video games as much as I have in the past year since maybe college, just because of the catalog. So after the Switch stuff of Zelda, like, it was just all PlayStation for me. It's a lot. It's pretty impressive. But, you know, I can remember, we've talked about this and how I don't play anymore. And, like, my life is so different now from the last time. Like, video games are back. So I'm very happy about that.
That's good.
And I totally get how it is about the iPhone for you. Because, yeah, I mean, it's a party trick, I think.
I think it's a bit of a party. However, like, with the controller support, maybe... Mm-hmm. Like, with this maybe I will get into, like, a more modern game on the iPhone because I've got the Xbox controller and it works great with it. Like, that is not a party trick. The idea that you can just connect via Bluetooth to an Xbox controller or a PlayStation controller, that's, you know, I think we all kind of laughed at it when they first made that a thing, but it works so well.
Yeah.
So,
no, especially natively, like, a game of the caliber of a Resident Evil.
Yeah,
like I try to do that on my iPad with the PlayStation Remote, where I play, like, it streams the game from my PlayStation 5, and that sucks. Like, I'll enjoy it, like, you know, but it's just a not great experience.
Right.
Like, you know, I'll still do it.
Right.
But I imagine to have it natively on my phone or my iPad would be wonderful. So I think the potential there is high.
Mm-hmm.
So. But do you have any, like, conclusions about it as a video game thing?
I think if I hadn't found Afterplay, which is fucking odd, like, and by the way, it's free. Like, the free version of Afterplay gives you Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and Super Nintendo emulators. And then you can pay them, like, $6 a month or something, and it gets you DS games, N64 games, I think, and, like, Genesis and, like, all the others. Basically, like, PS1, I think, is in there. So, like, it turns your... Like, I don't think I'm setting the importance enough that, like, this is like a RetroArch kind of emulator that just runs in the browser, and you can have it on your phone, and you can close your phone, and then you can go to your computer and pick up the game exactly where you were.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right? Like, that is, like, and I know what they're doing isn't, like, completely... on the up and up, and any day the site might go down once Nintendo knows it's there, right?
Yeah,
but it's fantastic. Apple Arcade is really, really good though. Like, it has a lot of like games for like 5-year-olds, but it also just has like a ridiculously deep bench of great phone games. Most of which, though, don't have controller support because they're meant to be played, like, vertically, like a phone, you know?
Yeah.
And I've noticed that's a fun little detail, is, like, if a game is played vertically, you can't connect a controller to it. Like, it just doesn't work, which makes sense, I guess. But, like, I wish there were some ways to, like, play some vertical games horizontally if I have a controller. Because you just know that, like, the vertical thing was a hack to get people to play it on the phone in the first place.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. But no, I think, like, the phone has never heated up once.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Right, never. Like, it's never gotten hot.
Wow.
Like, I mean, beyond the first few days of it, like, indexing photos and stuff like that. Like, it got hot then. But like in general use, no, it's never gotten warm. Not once.
So you think all the press complaining about the heat was just everybody's phones being new?
Yeah. It happens every year.
Every year.
Every year, if you get a brand new phone and you have if you have 30 gigs in iCloud and, 50,000 photos, it's going to get hot and it's going to be slow and it's going to drain the battery the first few days because it has to go through all that stuff.
Right.
This happens to every single Windows PC, too, and every single Macintosh. It's just what happens when you get a brand new thing. So
that's right.
I don't think about that because I just know that that's what happens, you know?
Yeah, it was just iPhone press being iPhone press.
Yeah. But, like,
yeah.
I did, like, I ran into, like, all the bugs in the first month. But I just took them as bugs. And I was like, oh, Apple will fix these and... a 0.1 or a 0.2, and they did. It's fine.
Well, I remember you were kind of sad. You were anxious about it.
I'm just so...
You're worried.
I'm so aware of my own curse. And I know that propagates the curse, you know?
Of course.
If you think about the curse, you stay cursed.
Naturally, of course.
Right. Yeah. So...
that's how it is, yeah.
That's just how it is. like, I was thinking, like as soon as the Series 9 watches got pulled from stores.
right.
The first time in history that's ever happened to the Apple Corporation.
Did this happen in Canada, too?
No, like, it didn't happen. It's just the U.S. It's just the U.S.
Just the U.S. Yeah.
And it only happened for a week. Yeah. I think it's already over. But, like, of course it happened to the one I purchased because I purchased it.
Of course. Well, I'm glad it's back. I'm glad your curse doesn't seem as harsh as it used to be.
Exactly. It's a more mellow curse for sure.
Right.
I also kind of... It's kind of amazing. Like, the USB-C thing is kind of amazing because it goes into a list of things that I just don't think about now. Like the battery life. I've always said, like, you pay for a brand new iPhone partially so that for the next year or 2 years, your brain never has to think about the battery.
Right?
Like, a brand new phone always has a long-lasting battery, and it's so true. Like, this phone has... I haven't thought about the battery once. You know, I'll right. plug it in at night. Sometimes I won't, and it'll be fine. So, it like, the USB-C thing is nice. It's just one less thing to think about, and taking things off your thinking about plate is worth money. You know?
I hope it lasts longer than a year for you.
Is that about as long as it lasted for you, in terms of, like...
Yeah, this is the shortest it's ever been. I, like, when you bought it, that's what I learned about my phone. It's like, oh, 1 year. Like, right. now I'm thinking about it as much as I did the previous phone. And that right. lasted maybe 4 years before right. I seriously had to think about it. And right. now it's about the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the small, it's not the max phone, maybe. But, you know, it's disappointing, but it is what it is. I'll just wait until I have to replace the battery.
Yeah, and I would... I do tell yeah. people this, like, when they're like, oh, my phone's getting slow. I'm like, go into the store and give them the $100 for the battery.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will make your phone feel brand new.
This only works, I think, for, like, this works well for countries with Apple stores in there, in the country.
Yeah,
like,
for
like
sure.
actual physical stores.
Yeah.
Not just online, because we have Apple online too, but it's going to take us, it's going to take a month to replace my thing, and that's what costs
not
the $100,
sucks.
You know?
I am absolutely talking out my privileged ass here, where I'm like, just go down yeah. to the store, they'll help you, I'm white.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nope, not like that here. I go to the store, they say, okay, and see you in a month.
Right.
And it's like, no, wait, I need my phone.
Right.
So, ugh. Yeah, that's the really frustrating thing about this extremely expensive device. But, you know, besides that, I'm okay with my phone. So anyway, I'm saying this to sincerely wish you well, because that to jump from the 10R battery life to the 15 Pro Max battery life is wonderful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's, I hope it lasts, you know?
It went from, like, me not using my phone to using my phone all the time.
Right. That matters. Like, the psychological toll.
Yes. Ugh. Yeah, for
you
sure.
Know? So that and USB-C is a great, great set of, like, a great combination for battery life psychology relief.
Absolutely.
So that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
for
wonderful.
Sure.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I think like 10 out of 10, like, I'm really happy with it. You know, and they didn't break anything, and I didn't have to learn anything new, and that's, at my age, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Do you ever do any work on it? Like, for real work on it?
Like for my jobby job?
For your jobby job?
Yes, in that I've taken, like, some Microsoft Teams meetings on it.
Hmm. But that, like, as part of your workflow, or just, like, because you were out?
Just because I work from home, and sometimes it's nice to walk around in a meeting.
Mm. Oh, nice. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real. That's part of work. That's
for sure.
Real work.
Yeah, for sure. So I've done that, like, emails and stuff. Like Microsoft Outlook remains my most used app on the phone, I think.
Yuck, but I get it.
And I've switched back to Microsoft To Do. Every couple of months I try a different thing, and for the first couple of months of using this phone, I was like, you know what, I'll use iOS Reminders. I'll just natively use the Reminders app, and it just got so annoying that I had to switch back to Microsoft To Do, which, by the way, just works with iOS Reminders. Like, I could just plug it into Reminders and use Reminders, and it's like, you know, I can add tasks from To Do and delete things and say they're done, all that. Like, it just, it's kind of a cool party trick that iOS Reminders just, like, works with other task apps. But I mostly still prefer the To Do app, and I am Microsoft brained to some degree.
yeah, in a nice healthy way too. Like, from what I've seen,
a nice
healthy Microsoft brain.
Here's the thing, I'm a Microsoft person, but I also feel like if I have to open up Microsoft Word, then something has gone wrong in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very specific Microsoft things that I really like. Like, I do think Outlook and To Do are the best things that do those things. Like, I think it's the best email and the best task thing. And, like, if you're an adult, you need those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I do think OneNote is the best place to just, like, do notes. I think it's still so much better than Apple Notes.
Do you use Outlook for all of your accounts?
Yeah.
Or just like your work accounts?
Yeah. All three of my emails are in there. I've got a personal Outlook, a Gmail, and a work Outlook.
I used to use that too, and then Spark came out, but now I'm kind of getting annoyed with Spark because of all the updates and the AI stuff.
Yeah, Gmail people have like fancier options than Outlook people, yeah. I think, for like trying out new email apps.
Yeah, I'm gonna check out Outlook again. It's nice looking too.
Yeah, it's great looking. I mean, Outlook, I think, started as a third party app, and then Microsoft bought it and turned it into Mobile Outlook.
Mm.
So I think that's one of the reasons it looks good and works well, is like someone outside of Microsoft made it first. And it's the exact same with Microsoft To Do, because that used to be Wunderlist. People forget about that, but
right.
Wunderlist was like
Wunderlist was great.
Was a beloved To Do app, and that's what Microsoft To Do is now.
I loved Wunderlist.
So
on the Mac, it was great.
Yeah. So, but Microsoft To Do is still great. Like, it works as well as Wunderlist, and they haven't stopped working on it.
Hmm.
Like, it's not like they bought it and let it languish. Like that. Like Microsoft To Do is always getting worked on. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one more question about the phone. I think
about the
it
phone?
Might be like, yeah. So I think like tech reviewer wise, I think it's clear where it stands in your life. But like, how do you feel about the phone? Like, I guess both the phone itself that you paid for, that is your toy, and also like the phone now that it does all of these things, like the phone in your life. Like, what are your thoughts on? I mean, we talked about how the iPad Mini is the one we love the most, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that place in your life now that it opened up a whole bunch of areas for you.
Yeah.
Or at least changed other areas for you. Like, but as a device, how do you feel about it? Or not as a device, but as what it is, how do you feel about it?
So earlier we talked about how like the iPhone is maybe replacing the camera, at least in terms of use, and is like fighting a fight against video games, but isn't winning yet. I feel like the thing the iPhone is defeating the easiest is my iPad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, and it's because it's always on me, and the iPad isn't. It's the same thing with the camera. The iPad and the camera live on my desk. The phone lives in my pocket.
Right.
And that is psychologically very difficult to defeat, especially when the iPhone is newer and does more things. And apps want you on the phone, not the iPad. I've noticed this. So, like, my bank app is like...
This is true.
It only trusts one device, so I have to pick one. And it's like, well, I have to pick one. I got to pick the phone. Mm. You know? I recently got into... you know, this is slightly embarrassing, but it's like I'm using it as like a fitness thing. I recently got into Just Dance, the video game.
Mm.
Like I'm using
it. That explains the notifications I get from you.
That explains the dance workouts on my Apple Watch. Yes, it does.
On your Apple Watch, right?
Those are when I'm playing Just Dance.
Right.
And Just Dance has been around for, like, I'm not introducing anyone to Just Dance. It's been around for like 15 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I'm using it as just like a little supplement, like workout, like just another thing to tack on in the day. And I bought the Nintendo Switch version, which gives you like 40 or 50 songs or something like that. And then you can like, there's a Just Dance Plus that gives you the whole catalog if you want more than that. But on the phone, Just Dance is like a completely different thing than on the console. And Just Dance on the phone is like, it's a subscription service, but it also has like a free tier where you get like one free song a day.
Fun.
And it adds up to two songs. Like you can bank two songs and then you have to wait 2 days to get two more songs. So it's like, I kind of use it like that. But what's interesting about this is, and I think this is actually indicative of the iPhone iPad thing. So the app is on both the iPhone and the iPad. But on the iPhone, you pick the song and you then need to connect to a screen of some kind. So like I connect to my Chromecast, but you can connect to like an Apple device or anything, but you need to connect to another screen so it can show you like the music video, and then you hold your phone and that's the controller. So you hold it as if you're holding your Wiimote to your Nintendo Switch Joy-Con, you know, hold it in your right hand, you do the dance, and then you watch it on the screen. Just Dance on the iPad is the screen, so you can't play Just Dance with just the iPad. The iPad is only a screen outlet for the Just Dance game, so you need the phone. So if you have an iPad and an iPhone, you can beam the music video to the iPad, but that's all the iPad can do. It can't even really select a song or anything like that. So I think that's, you know, that's an extreme version of it, but there's so many dark patterns where apps are like, just use the phone, bud. We really prefer you to use the phone. And I'm susceptible to that. So,
well, of course, like, you know, as the end user, like, we don't really have a choice.
So going back to my Lightroom list of photos, I took 3 photos with my iPad. Now, I don't think of the iPad as a camera. It's got like an iPhone 8 camera on it, so that's fine. But I think that's actually like an illustration of how much I'm using one versus the other.
Isn't that sad, Sawyer? Don't you feel a little sad about that?
In a way, I mean, so here's what the iPad has become for me post iPhone, which is a bigger screen for when I want to do stuff like Apple Fitness Plus. I will generally only do Apple Fitness Plus on the iPad, like the workout videos, only doing that on the iPad. Other sort of workout-y things like that. YouTube, like I watch a lot of YouTube on the iPad. And like, yeah, like TV, like screens, like that kind of thing. And writing, like handwriting in OneNote. And sketching in Procreate. Like, so shocker, I'm using the iPad for the things that the Apple.com website says the iPad is good for use for.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Of course.
But I'm not really using it beyond, and I'm using it for reading. Like, one of the apps that I just have fallen head over heels in love with is Readwise. And I wrote a big blog post about how I use Readwise and what I think it's good for. And it just, like, it took over my reading life in the last few months. Because it's a really great RSS reader, and it's a really good, like, read it later app. And it's just tremendous, and most of that I do on the iPad.
Readwise, there it is.
Yeah,
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, please do. I'll send you. Put it in the show notes. My blog post for it.
It's open here.
Yeah.
Maybe don't add to the show notes the emulator website, but do send it to me, please.
Okay.
We want it to be around.
No problemo. I don't think we have the reach to get. Like, The Verge has written about this emulator.
And it's still there. So I guess we're okay.
Yeah.
Like, maybe one of the 2 listeners is like FBI or something. You know? I think it's really interesting that you're experiencing this. Like, it's so interesting for me to watch it because I guess I've been an iPhone guy the whole time. You know? Yeah. You had a 10R, but you know, you also like were not like, the optimum iPhone experience is a thing. It's a thing that changes every year because Apple is Apple and, you know, capitalism, but for you to experience it this year is this year of all the years where there's so much new stuff, you know, so much new and cool and potentially like paradigm shifty stuff is so, I don't know what else to say besides interesting, because it is interesting how it affects you emotionally is a thing I'd like to keep paying attention to, because I don't like, I'm just a year before you with the 14 Pro, right? And there are things that like I begrudgingly have to use my phone for, but I think the iPad mini is still like what I have the most fondness for, you know, perhaps because of the iPhone things I've taken for granted over the years, you know,
like
that,
what
that, I don't know, the camera, like that's a thing, you know, that's, yeah, that's a thing that matters for you in a way that doesn't to me, because I never had to think about it.
But
it
you just, take a million photos a day.
Yeah. No, yeah. But I mean, it's always going to be on the iPhone. There's no crisis there. I'm not thinking about any other way I'm taking a picture, you know?
Right.
Like I'm comparing the camera of the phone with the iPad, which is no contest, you know? Like, I'm even like when I'm recording a coffee brewing recipe nerd thing, like, I used to use the, when my iPad was new, it has the ultra wide on the front facing.
Yeah.
So it was my camera first. And then when I got the 14 Pro, like you have the ultra wide was on the back of the phone, so I couldn't like monitor myself.
Yeah.
But then when I did it that first time, it was just so much better, like than the iPad Mini, like ridiculous. That I just never made a video with my iPad Mini again. Like I'm just not gonna do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but it was not like I had to think about a Canon M50 that I loved, you know, it was just like, oh, well, it's my phone. Of course it's better.
Right.
You know? So, but it makes me think of if you, well, I guess only tech nerds think like this. So this is not a normal person thing, but if someone gives you like $2,000and just for no reason, and they say, use it on a tech thing.
Yeah.
Like my last answer would always be the phone, just because it's the least interesting for me, but it's undeniably the most important. You know, like it is, like emotionally it feels like it's a waste to just upgrade to 16 17 18 Pro Max with $2,000 versus say a new Mac or like the highest end iPad for me, because it's just less exciting. But right. Like in life, as you've just discussed, it is just, I guess, undeniably worth it, I think. Like just the psychological relief of so many things is worth it.
It's really hard to fight against it. It is.
Yeah.
And I'm not even being like, oh, people should fight against it. Like whatever, you know. I mostly think that people should still think of technology as something that can, like, if it isn't really useful to you, don't let it into your life. You know? Like, I'm not Amish, but I don't hate the idea that, like, before you let something into your life, make sure you're getting more out of it than they're getting out of you.
Right.
You know? That's that's my only real attitude to that. But, like, I think I'm definitely getting a lot more out of the iPhone than Apple's getting out of me.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah,
that's perfect. That's good for you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. But like, because I don't work for them, you know. That's there. Right. I saw a TikTok the other day that was actually like really eye opening to me. It was about this Canadian woman who went to a TikTok conference in New York, and people were talking about like how much they made, and this woman was like, I don't make anything on TikTok, because I think in Canada, it's actually quite difficult to monetize your TikTok. Like, I think there's actually, like, things in the way. Like, you don't really make money on TikTok in Canada unless you, like, go through some hoops. And these people looked at her with just this, like, bewilderment of, like, why are you here if you're not making money? Like, why do you post on TikTok if you're not making money?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, like, I have given my words and face for free my whole life on the internet. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't do things for no money. Like, passion stuff is important. Like, I'm happy to, you know, like, podcasting, it doesn't make any money. I'm happy, like, it's still fun, right? I still think it's really valuable to do things for fun. But it did make me think about, like, I'm adding value to a social network for a billionaire, and I'm not getting anything out of this.
Right.
That's why I left Twitter, ultimately, because the math was like, I'm giving this something, and I'm not getting anything back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if it's not money, then it's joy. Joy is a currency.
Yeah. No, totally. Right? Totally.
This is why I play video games. Video games don't pay me to play them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's a sad thing about the world where you have to talk about things in terms of currency to see.
Well, sure. You know?
Right. No, but totally. Joy is absolutely a currency.
It is.
And, yeah.
So, and I think that's fine. Like, it's fine to just be like, I'm getting joy out of this. That's what I'm getting paid in.
Right.
You know? Like, that's why I play Nintendo games. I'm getting paid in absolute delight.
Right.
You know?
We should have, like, there should be, like, a podcast where people talk about where they spend joy in the wrong way. Like, they chose poorly.
You joyed poorly. You're having fun wrong.
Should we just change our show?
Well, I think our show is about. I think our show is about that. It's about how we spend our time and if our time is being spent well,
yeah.
And if we're enjoying things. And sometimes it's about the curse.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is of all the things that we're upset about spending poorly, like money is like the least significant thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Although we do complain about it, but it isn't the money, you know? It is the joy. It is the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my recommendation is that people play Just Dance because you can get one song for free every day on your phone, and that's kind of nice, actually. Mm. Like, there's an upsell there. They definitely want you to buy the subscription, but the subscription itself isn't even that bad. If you really like this kind of thing, it's like actually reasonable. I don't know how like people with kids don't have something like this going on. It seems extremely kid friendly.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Have you guys ever played it in your house?
Not in our house.
No.
In other people's houses. It's fun.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But it's more of a. It felt like more of a party game, like play with everybody kind of thing. Like I've never considered it.
It is of the Wii era. Absolutely.
Right.
Like it is such a native Wii game, that it and like the same thing applies. Like it's still like a. I think six players on the Switch can all hook up, and like it all like. If you don't have that many controllers, you can just connect your phone to it as a controller.
Even the Switch? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's something.
Because it's just like this, like these people have just figured it out. Like the Just Dance people, the Jackbox Party people, like they've just, they've figured out how to turn phones into controllers really easily. Mm. Yeah. The only crappy thing is Just Dance just doesn't work online at all. Like you and I couldn't do a dance at the same time.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, you'd expect that to be, like, the first feature they'd work on.
I was surprised when I found out, like, the phone version has no online... like, people are online, they're dancing next to you, and you're getting scored next to them, but that person can't be someone you know.
Huh.
Yeah, so I think it's all kind of robots and, like, AI people. Like, I don't necessarily think those are real people next to me.
Right.
You know, it's just the illusion of it. But yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Get yourself a $2,000 iPhone. And then
so you can play Just Dance.
So you can play Just Dance and like wildly and like end up throwing it into your television. Like God intended. Right.
Like God intended. It brings you joy. It's worth it.
Yeah. Do you ever find this about the Wii is like nothing survived that era. Like, it was like a fever dream of dance games and cool, like, fun little party games, and, like, none of that's around.
I think of the Wario party game, which I loved.
Ooh.
I remember just loving it so much,
yeah.
Having, like, different groups of friends come over just to play it. And I'll be honest, I can't even remember... like any of it. Like I remember how it looks,
yeah,
but I don't remember what I did. Like why I loved it so much, but I don't even remember it.
Yeah, and I get it. The Wii motion thing isn't great if you want to like play as Zelda. Like I get that like a 30-hour adventure game is not really what it's for. It's meant to be played for 15 minutes at a time. But I feel like there's just not nearly enough games that take advantage of the fact that lots of people only have 15 minutes in the day to play a video game.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's what the iPhone did. Like, the iPhone took over.
Oh, you know, totally.
15-minute players.
Totally. You know? But I kind of... Maybe it's just because I'm a work-from-home person and I'm trying to find any excuse to get out of my desk and move around. That's partially what the just... Like Just Dance just showed up as an idea when I was looking for, you know, hey, I work from home. What can I do to, like, move sometimes?
Right.
But every phone game is like, sit in your bed with your neck cranked 80 degrees.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And just sit there for, like, just sit there for an hour. That's what it's for. Yeah.
Like, there's a the Siri knows now when I'm at work.
Yeah.
Like, like I'll bring my phone, because the Wi-Fi doesn't reach the bathroom in the office. So then when I'm in the... Yeah, it doesn't. It just makes no sense. So it knows that I'm not going to go scrolling. It's a Siri suggestions, and it's the first two games that show up. At
Siri
like 7:45
suggests video
in the
games to you when you're in the washroom? That's amazing.
That's right.
Oh my God.
It knows... I don't know what it is. It figures out when the Wi-Fi runs out, and it's like sometime before 8 a.m., before my first class. It's just going to suggest the two games that I play.
Oh my God.
It's hilarious. Yeah, it just knows. See, but... I'm happy, so it's worth it. It's a fair exchange, I think. Siri to know.
Sure. I love that.
Yeah. Offline games that you can play 5 to 15 minutes.
I'm looking at my phone right now to see if I have any offline games. And I've got three Apple Arcade games downloaded right now, which is Monster Hunter Stories, which I haven't really started. What the Car, which is like the sequel to What the Golf. And I'm like, oh, that's
What the Golf. Right.
I'm like, oh, these are tremendous. I love these. Yeah. They're extremely stupid little 2-minute iPhone games, but they're great at it. Right. And the Shovel Knight game that's on Apple Arcade. The Shovel Knight Dig, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it has controller support, and it really benefits from controller support. I just downloaded Journey on the iPhone.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's going to be my first, like, premier AAA game on the iPhone that I play with a controller.
That's a serious game, yeah.
But it was, like, $3 on the iPhone store.
Oh, but you've played Journey, right? We've talked about this game.
I've never played Journey.
We've had a show about it. No, we haven't. You haven't, really?
No, because I've never had a PlayStation since the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, but like it's not on Steam or something, right?
I don't think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's like PlayStation exclusive and now on the iPhone.
I mean, I probably wasn't thinking about our show. It was maybe a John Syracuse show, which
it might have
sometimes
been.
Sounds the same.
Yeah, we have a similar
Journey.
Yeah.
Journey, though. Yeah, that's fun. Like, that's a fun game. No, that's a good game.
Yeah.
Journey is a good game.
So I'm looking forward to playing more of that. That's an offline game, I think.
Yeah. I think there's more to the iPhone in your life talk. And I think this is going to be a thing we're going to keep going back to.
maybe.
On the months where, like, Punk is, like, away... You know,
sure.
There's no new keynote, and the Vision Pro is not a thing either of us can afford. This is a thing we're gonna.
I'm
gonna get
so waiting for that thing to come out and for you to be like, I didn't want it, and now I want it.
You know, it's worse if I say I didn't want it, and now I have it, and I can't afford it, but I have it. Like, that's the thing I'm not looking forward to right now.
Well, like what I was just saying about like a $2,000 to $3,000 camera, that it's like, well, if I wanted one, I think that's a pretty big conversation to have.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, right. I want this thing that straps to my face for $4,000.
That'll keep me away from everyone else.
Yeah.
2 to 3 hours per use.
It'll keep me away from everyone else, but I'll be able to film them all.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Now, especially since it makes sense because my phone can't do it. It's the 14 Pro. Yours can.
Yes, but mine can.
If I just had the 15 Pro Max, I wouldn't even need it. But, you know, now I need it.
Okay, so I mentioned my 3DS earlier. Mm-hmm. So I have two devices that can shoot 3D video. one of them is the iPhone 15 Pro Max, and the other one is the 3DS.
The 3DS, of course.
Which can it can film, like, it's not high quality, but it can do it. And you can watch it back on the 3DS screen.
In 3D.
And it works. Again, it's not high definition, but it does work. I'm very curious. I wonder if I shoot a video with my iPhone in 3D, can I watch it on the 3DS?
On the 3DS. Yeah.
I'm going to try that, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. You know, I also, on a little bit more serious note, but, you know, that's serious too, I think. It's equally serious note.
That's dumb, but go ahead.
Yeah, serious doesn't mean not dumb.
Sure.
But, you know, it's supposedly coming out within the next, 60 days, 90
right.
days.
Right.
And we don't know when we're going to do our next show. But you should totally record spatial videos, and you should totally try it out if you get the chance.
Yeah.
And you should totally report on your feelings. Like, okay. that's important, I think. Because
okay.
You're definitely going to have access to it way before I will. You know,
what, the Vision Pro?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Maybe not own it, but it'll be in your stores before ours.
I'll be able to go to the store and look at it for sure.
Yeah. And hopefully you get to try out the videos you've taken. Like, that would be, because that's the one. That's the hook your heart feature that they're pushing, right?
Hold on. Are you saying, like, I'll be able to take my phone to the Apple Store with my 3D video on the iPhone and be like, let me look at this on the dingus?
I think they would be fools not to do that. Because
they should definitely let you look at the video on the dingus because that will help sell
definitely.
The thing.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Because you don't, no one gets it. Like, if you take a spatial video, it doesn't matter on your phone, you know?
Right.
But it matters on that thing. And that's the only thing that it matters in. So, and that's, they've been pushing it, right? They invited these reviewers back just so they can watch the videos they've recorded on their 15 Pros. So I hope that's how they sell it, just for the sake of the show. It's the sort of thing I'd be scared to try.
Is gonna make me sound like a total pedant, but like, how do they do that? How do they take the video from my phone to the airdrop?
They airdrop it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just stick it on there and it'll show up.
Yeah.
Sawyer's phone.
I guess it would.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that too, like any device on the store. Like, you can airdrop your photos on it, right?
Yeah.
So they should be able to do that on the Vision Pro. And
okay, well, tell you what. If I get the opportunity to go to the store and walk in there and say, hey, I've taken this video. Let me watch it on your new fancy face computer, rich boy face computer. I'm not calling it anything but face computer.
that's what it is.
Yes.
It's important.
You want me to do this for the show.
You need to do this for the show. And when you do this for the show, we need to have a show within the next, like, at least 7 days. 7 days at most.
Okay.
Like, after you do this, we have to have a show.
So the memory is fresh.
Yes, and the
3D
feelings
memory
fresh.
Is fresh.
The 3D, and you have to try it. To like good faith, take a video that could make you feel things, you know? Not like of birds or something, you know, like a thing you care about.
You don't know that I don't care about birds.
Oh, that's true. Sorry. I apologize. Birds are nice. Aviary things.
Something you care about, not birds.
Yeah, sorry bird people. There goes the FBI guy.
Oh my god. One That's left. What we're getting sent in for, not liking birds enough. Or is that the conspiracy like theory that birds are listening devices?
Oh no. Yeah.
I love that conspiracy theory, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we should do a show on conspiracy theories.
Oh my god. No, we should not.
You chose poorly.
You chose poorly, yeah, for sure. All right, is there anything else you wanted to chat about?
No.
No.
This is a big show.
Oh, did
this
you get
a big show?
It was a big show.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Did you get any fun tech things for Christmas?
No, not really. I would say the software, the PlayStation Plus and Switch Online, but not new things, but tech stuff. Happy about it.
What are you playing on Switch Online?
Old Genesis games, because I forgot they had Genesis games.
Yeah,
I was excited for the Nintendo 64, but I kind of knew, and I had emulators for the Nintendo 64. But Streets of Rage 2 just made me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me miss Streets of Rage 1, which for some reason they don't have. But that was great. Like, that brought me back. My nostalgia is amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Streets of Rage 2 is killer.
Yeah.
I had a really good Genesis game on there I really loved last year. Let's see if I can get it up here. So, where are you on social media? Are you still mostly Threads? Or are you mostly
Threads,
X?
I would say. Well, I'm around. I still haven't closed it.
Yeah.
But, I would not say find me on X anymore. I would just say find me on Threads. No. Like, it's not something I want to grow.
Right.
You know? It's just there.
Right.
So, yeah. But Threads is where, if there's any conversation to be had, certainly about tech or at least the show, like, Threads is where I'd like to have it.
Yeah. It seems like a nice place when it's not being overrun with bots and things. Oh, okay. Yeah. So this is my Genesis Switch Online recommendation for you, is if you liked Streets of Rage 2, play Castlevania Bloodlines.
Oh, of course. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that.
I think it was my favorite of the list. This is probably one you might have skipped over because it wasn't like a famous old game or anything, but Musha, Musha. It's a shoot 'em up, but it's a really pretty fun one.
Musha, Musha. And then you said Castlevania Reborn, is that what you said?
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines.
Yeah, it's the only Castlevania game in the Genesis collection.
Okay.
But yeah, really good. And I think you'll be surprised like how good the graphics are on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a PlayStation.
That's how I felt about
Feels like a
Streets of Rage. It's like, whoa, this is nicer than I remember.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the Switch Online collection is like doing something to make them look a little better. I don't know what I don't know what they're doing, but the games look pretty great on there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
nice.
Yeah.
Not what I would call accurate, but they look good. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for this.
Absolutely.
And send me the emulator website
The
Verge wrote about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think they wrote about it. If not them, Engadget, definitely.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, they're the same thing. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
You're on Threads and everywhere else, right? K Sawyer Paul?
I'm on Threads at K Sawyer Paul. I'm on Mastodon at Sawyer Paul because I couldn't get the K. And I'm on Blue Sky as Parasilience, which is my sort of gaming.
YouTube.
This is my gaming and YouTube, and like this is my attempt at like a gaming handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
I'll put all that in the show notes, and I'll talk to you later, man.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.